This bridge new? Oh. Hi there.
Hey there. Yeah, thanks for joining us. This is my toll pitch.
I saw there was a sign back there, but it just said toll ahead. It normally says how much it cost. I don't know why it didn't, so I'm sorry I don't have anything ready.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, this is a private toll. This is all funded with private dollars by the, you know, the whatever rich person's foundation we got here. Anyway, so toll, you want to get past? You really want to go through, huh?
Yeah.
I don't like the
way you said that.
Yep, no, I'm going to need $500 from you.
What?
Yeah. This is an expensive road, and it's got to get paid off. So we made an agreement that we would build this road out for the city, and now you, the taxpayer, having already paid taxes, will now pay us, a private company, $500 that you may pass.
But this is the only way to get into Portland.
Yeah, I know that. We also do, we can take it in installments if you want, or I can take you down into the office out back and we'll just take all your teeth out. Hello!
Hello!
And welcome to Homegrown. Horror. It's the Maine Spooky Podcast about Maine spooky things, true crime, horror,
cryptids,
goblins,
ghouls,
grand
hauntings,
theft auto, muggings.
Is that what we're doing today?
No, we're talking about a murder.
Just a straight up murder.
Just a straight up murder.
Oh, fantastic.
2001 murder. This has been some time, I suppose, but we were alive when this occurred, so I guess you can add a little context to that. You know, you were probably palling around some of these areas. That probably came out wrong, but anyway. I'm Jackson, a co-host.
And I was in first grade in 2001.
You've probably been to the old port, though. First grade? When'd you get to this country? When they shipped you down the river from Canada.
I didn't...
Swaddled in a little basket. You're like the Prince of Egypt.
Oh, God.
Being snapped at by beavers instead of crocodiles.
Oh, my God. I didn't get to go to the old port till I was a little bit older because my mom just notoriously hated driving in Portland. So we didn't do anything in Portland unless it was going to the hospital.
You know, that's actually a real thing I've heard from people from, like, Maine in general. They just hate driving through Portland.
Especially if you're out from the boonies.
I guess if you're out from the boonies, it's a bit much as far as, like, city driving. If that's not something you're ever encountered, it's a bit.
My mom's got lost in Portland, which as an adult now, because we laughed at her at the time, and I laugh at her even harder now. Because I'm like,
I think she deserves to be laughed at. How do you get lost in this city?
To be fair, I think the thing that is the most frustrating is if you're a first timer, you're like, why are there so many one ways?
There are a lot of one ways, but you just got to think about the grid system.
Yep.
I know that that doesn't hold up. That logic does not hold up across the entirety of Portland.
No, it doesn't.
But if you just look for the opposite one way as you're going down the street, you're going to find one eventually. You'll find one. You're going to be
you
okay.
You will find one and it will be fine. But yes, I didn't spend a lot of time in the Old Port till I probably was like in high school. Well, I'm trying to think of when my first Old Port Fest was. That was probably high school.
Old Port Fest. Okay. Yeah. Sick.
Man, you missed a good time with Old Port Fest.
That's what I hear. I hear it really has gone down the toilet.
It doesn't really happen. I don't think it happens anymore.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. It was flushed.
It was flushed.
It has, yeah.
It's been deleted.
Unfortunately, it's in the archives of the septic tank of Maine.
How have you been? How was your weekend? We had some of the weekend together, actually.
We did. We played D&D.
The worst game of my life.
It was the best game of my life.
I'm so glad that you enjoyed a session where we only accomplished two things.
I had a great time.
I
had a lot of fun.
It was, I've been having fun with these sessions too. This is my first time seriously DMing also.
Yeah.
I did like a session a long, long time ago and it was fucking embarrassing. I was like so unprepared for it. Aww. And I was like, And my players were kind of, one of my players was kind of at the level of your tomfoolery, the table's tomfoolery right now that I have, where they're just like constantly testing every fucking like weird thing and going in weird directions that are clearly not like, like, this is not really a focal area, but all right, here we go.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm going to go to this furniture store and buy a cornhole for my bar.
Yeah, there, that happened. You also bought a dart set as well. Sure, you bought did. A nice dart set. And very I remember I quoted, the NPC quoted 40 copper. I was about to go to the bathroom and you're like, oh, what was the price again? I'm like, was it 20? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Take this fucking esoteric bullshit. I have fun though with the D&D sessions because, I'm a lot more prepared today than I was when I was like forced to DM, like
a wee young DM.
A wee young DM. That would have been like 7 years ago, I think, or 6 years ago.
Wow, you're ancient now.
Yeah, I'm so old. I just wasn't prepared, but it's really fun to play with the group now because you guys are fucking assholes. And like,
sorry.
No, y'all.
Sorry, not sorry. It's I had fun.
It's funny, but I do remember. Yeah, it was just hilarious in the middle of our session because I was just like, what was it? You're kind of was like, oh, you don't lay the plot out, and I'm just like, I fucking do.
I usually just wait for someone to knock on the door.
Yeah, that seems to be.
And drag me. I also.
The cue to drag you into the adventure, which I don't like doing.
But to honestly. Be totally fair, yeah. I also was just having quite the night.
I know.
It was like I was definitely, my dial was a little bit more
goofy
than normal because. It's been the beginning of this year has just been like nonstop.
Yeah.
Really, in terms of like feeling just laid out flat a lot of times and very busy, very like, so I was just very much like
in the moment to have fun.
Yeah. I was definitely a menace. I will admit I was a menace, but I had so much fun.
To be honest, you weren't the worst one at the table. So. There's one person in particular who really fucking tested the boundaries and almost faced like court martialing, like death by firing squad levels of bullshit, like they would have been deleted instantly.
They were really like, testing
the consequences of the universe.
But yeah, today has already been like, because also this is like. my start to daylight savings has been a time. So I
like didn't even know it was happening. And I stayed up kind of late also. And then I was like really bothered how groggy I was in the morning. I was like, oh man, I barely got any sleep. And then I was like, oh yeah, I only got like 4 hours of sleep.
That's exactly what happened to me. And I was very like, I was just fucked up yesterday too in terms of like, I felt all turned around, woke up this morning, still felt all turned around.
Yeah.
And then I went to therapy, and now I feel pretty good, but I have a feeling I'm going to have to call my therapist back after the story.
Oh, boy. Well, hopefully not. And hey, that's the whole point of the podcast, is to laugh sometimes through the tragedy or try to, like, I don't know. We talk about these things differently, and if you appreciate that, then bless you. Or don't, if you're not of that affiliation.
So anyway, what do we got?
We're going to be talking about the murder of Amy St. Laurent when on the day of October 20th, 2001. She was 25 years old and was a resident of South Berwick, Maine. Yet, the event around this case is going to be taking primarily around the Old Port.
Okay.
When I think of the Old Port, we talked a little bit about the Old Port, but a lot of people that I know kind of associate the Old Port with sort of the party district, which I mean, like, sure, maybe it was like more so back then. I could see that. But I think it's kind of like Portland in general is sort of a highfalutin when it comes to a lot of places that there's still that occasional dive bar you'll find around.
Yeah, definitely. Like the one that I think of that like is like more party central is like Foreplay. The sports bar.
Yeah. We're yes. actually going to be taking a visit to Foreplay.
Are you fucking with me?
Yeah, right now.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Fantastic. See?
Foreplay, totally. That's I've definitely had a cheap beer there. There's another place down the street, Dock 4, I think.
Okay.
And that's like just a divey bar that has like the cheapest beers on the planet.
Because a lot of the places that I would go, they aren't really around anymore. A lot of
places have like closed since like 2001, even if you're thinking about that. I mean, like, it feels like a new restaurant opens and a new restaurant closes every week.
Yeah, it just sort of like rotates.
It's a huge foodie town. It's wild. But Amy had gone into the Old Port this evening. Amy herself, very intelligent person. She had a lot of friends and her family. I'm only going to say this because every fucking article mentions it. And like the family and friends also mention it. But she was very attractive, is what people say. She was 5'5" with strawberry blonde hair and blue eyes. We've often talked about how like, oh, we always focus on the blonde girl when it comes to certain missing persons cases. But this one seemed a little bit different. There was a lot of coverage, I recall, of that time that was going around this case. But I was surprised that this was probably the first time I heard it as I was, like, doing research.
I
kind of dug a little deeper on my stuff today.
I am also kind of surprised. Like, this isn't something that I remember. And I haven't... It's always weird when these cases where you're like, I definitely feel like we should have seen this before.
Yeah.
Or, like, before now. How old is she?
25 years old.
Okay.
So pretty, I guess you could say young. I don't know. Like...
Younger than me.
Younger than you, younger than me. And that's young to us. You're basically a baby if you're...
Yes. You shouldn't be at the bar. You are an infant.
Yeah, absolutely. but, okay, very intelligent. She graduated from high school with high honors. Mm-hmm. She didn't go to college because she didn't think it would be stimulating enough. She didn't find high school very stimulating. So instead of what she thought was probably going to be a waste of time, she just went straight to work. And at this time is actively working as a technician at Pratt & Whitney, who make aircraft engines. So aerospace manufacturing.
Fucking hell. Okay.
Right. So look at the big brain on Amy. Amy had come off a long relationship recently and was casually seeing people. You know, if you come off a break, hang out with friends, or just say hi to people. One individual that she had met was named Eric Fulbright, who was a motorcyclist? Did you hear I said that? I was just like...
Yes, I did!
It's like fucking marbles just, like, apparated into my mouth and left.
No.
Eric was a motorcycle enthusiast from Florida, who became enraptured with Amy. And while they only casually met, Eric pressed and wanted to see her again over the phone.
I don't like the way that you said that.
What?
Like, he's like infatuated with her.
Enraptured.
Enraptured. That's even worse.
Is it worse? What's worse? Infatuated or raptured?
Enraptured?
I mean, in essence. Enraptured, I guess.
I think would enraptured
indicate it puts more me, of a lustful level.
That puts me off.
Yeah.
Because I'm nervous.
I wouldn't pay much mind to. Well, you know what? You know, I'll leave.
Okay.
I'll let it ride. Maybe I should have used infatuated.
Yeah, I'm like,
So Eric calls Amy, says, I want to meet again. She says, okay. And, you know, kind of like, all right, fine. We can hang out. They were cool. They met up on October 18th. So the 20th is when she disappeared. So we're 2 days ahead.
Okay.
They met up on the 18th. And while Eric had, you know, expected a little, you know, hanky panky, a little, roll in the hay.
She not into it?
She's not into it. No, she makes those boundaries very clear, apparently, and like relegated Eric to, hey, here's your guest room all made up for you.
Good for her.
Yeah, right? And I was like, yeah, that's fucking lit. Good job. Go for it, Amy. You know, I think it's like you can be friends with people and it's a clear that like, I think a frustration here that I was like feeling was that some people think like girls or guys can't be friends. Because it's like, oh, there's always going to be some, like, tension. And it's like, no, that's not a fucking... Only if you're a fucking, like, weirdo.
Yeah, I don't...
Or it's like, you only see women as sort of, like, sex objects.
I don't get it. And, or, you know, if you suspect your significant other because they have friends of the opposite gender or whatever gender that they are attracted to, because obviously you can still see jealousy and things like that in same sex or other queer pairings. But at the same time, I'm just kind of always like, just let, if someone wants to be friends, they can be friends. Like, there doesn't have to be something behind it.
No, yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to be anything like weird. I thought it was funny. Can I tell the story about your grandpa?
Yes. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So we, Emily and I and Bean Allegra, we all had dinner over at Grammy and Grandpa's over for B's side. And we were hanging out and we were kind of getting towards the end of like the fucking amazing margaritas that your grandpa was making here. And I remember like we were about to go see the Ghost concert like a couple weeks afterwards.
Yeah. And so we're like, yeah, we're going. Yeah. And Jackson and I are driving down together.
And then he says like
to Emily,
are you worried about them being alone together? And then I said, don't worry, she's gay. It's like, I don't know if you heard.
Well, I am bisexual, but you're not my type. Mm-hmm. So
there you go.
I am into feminine men.
I am not. Hey, that's a compliment to me, I feel like.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, that was.
I didn't grow this beard for nothing.
I got a kick out of that.
That was hilarious. He's fucking funny. Yeah. He's a little unhinged. Yeah. He's a funny dude, though.
But that's why we love him, is because he's a little unhinged. Yeah, Where do you think I got it from?
Love to see them again, by the way. That was a blast.
Absolutely.
Time. Yeah.
And also margaritas.
Those are fucking fantastic. And he was like, he kept like checking up on me because he was like, do you like with the amaretto? Like the twist they do is they put the amaretto in it. And I thought it tasted amazing. But then he kept like checking up on me. He was like, are you sure you like that? And I'm just like, yeah, it's great. So I didn't like it. But no, that's my face that's red. I'm Irish. So, you know, clear boundaries set between friends, I think that's totally fine. On Saturday, the 20th, the fateful day, Eric and Amy were spending the day together touring the museums of Boston for the day. And then at night, they decided to go down to the Old Port.
A long day.
It's a long fucking day, yeah. And they got there around 10:30 p.m., so they're ready to get lit. Mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know. I think if you go 10:30 at the bar, it's like, well, I guess I'm drinking because there's no food being served anymore. Mm-mm. And all the other places that serve food have closed in Old Port.
Yeah, they closed at 5. Although there is now a burger place that's open 24 hours.
Oh, is there?
And it's a pickup window. And it's right. It's actually it's right. You know, the cobblestone street.
Oh, my God. They're going to make a killing.
Yeah, it's the Burger Bar.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, that's probably one of the best.
There's a bunch of bars down in there. Fantastic.
I've been saying like Portland needs like a fucking pickup window where you just get some greasy bullshit.
Yeah.
Like every major city has like the pizza place with the giant slice of pie that you can get at 3 a.m. I remember in DC, I would get like fucking empanadas I would get 6 empanadas at a pit takeout window.
Yeah, I think that there is definitely some late night stops that are missing
in Portland
for sure. Let's open it.
We're opening it.
So do they actually go to Foreplay?
They do. So they started over at Foreplay Sports Bar. Amy was playing pool with two men that she had met there. Eric was hanging out as well, wasn't really playing pool. He was kind of sipping his beer, watching the pool unfold. Then the group, meaning these two men as well, decided to move over to Pavilion, a dance club. I don't know if Pavilion exists anymore.
I don't think it does.
All right. Where Amy danced with the men that she had met here. Eric was also kind of hanging out. Pavilion stays open till 1 a.m. So as they're nearing towards closing time, Eric needs to go to the men's room. You got to break the seal.
Oh, boy.
But by the time he got out, Amy was nowhere to be seen. He waited by the door of the bar until pretty much everybody had already left to see if Amy was around.
And she's just not.
And she's nowhere to be found. He was waiting patiently, couldn't see anybody. He was looking around pretty extensively. And he did find it a little odd. He kind of assumed that he got ditched, but found it odd because Amy's phone, coat, and purse are in his rental car currently that they use to get over here.
So, yeah. So he's kind of like, that'd be weird if she did ditch me because I'm a fucking ride.
Yeah. And like, I'm also staying at her place. And like, who are these random men? I would think that initially. Where are those random men?
Because they're also not here.
Yeah. He then ended up trekking back to South Berwick. He stopped first for gas. And when he was going down the toll route, he was begging the toll taker to let him pass. Let him pass. Let him pass. Hey, Lois, you gotta let him pass. Oh, boy. Family Guy reference.
Your inner Peter came out.
It really did. My inner Rhode Islander.
So he didn't have. So he doesn't have cash, I assume.
Apparently, he didn't have cash. And maybe spent it all on beer at the places here.
I don't know what the tolls were like in 2001, but the that toll that's in I think it's in a Gunkwit. It's $4.
It's wild the prices of tolls, man. Like I've complained about toll prices for a long time. I remember, here's my toll story.
Oh God. I didn't mean it.
My toll story. I remember driving with Emily when we were just dating from college. We were driving to my place in Connecticut. My parents' place in Connecticut. I didn't fucking own it. I like to clarify that because I like went to school with a bunch of fucking preppy assholes. And they always say, my place in the Hamptons. And I'm like, you're not paying the mortgage. Stop saying that shit. This isn't your car. This is your mom's Volkswagen.
So you are on the way to...
So we're going back to Connecticut to my parents' home that they paid for with their money. And I made a terrible decision. I started going from Pennsylvania. I meant to go up north to avoid most of New York. Instead, I accidentally went to New York because my GPS was like, you're going to get there in like 3 fucking hours. And I'm like, all right, GPS, you've never steered me wrong. I then am driving through Harlem. And I'm trying to get through the GW Bridge. I finally get to the GW. 7 extra hours. 7 extra hours through Jersey, through New York, through Harlem. Through, like, most of Manhattan.
And how much did it cost you to get out on that
$15
bridge?
Fucking dollars.
Yes.
I literally said, do you pave this fucking bridge in gold?
Boston's trying to do that. Oh, it's going to be $15. Gosh. No! Proposed.
Where? Where?
The bridge to get into Boston.
From the north or where?
From, yeah.
No, when then I'm not going to Boston.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop it.
We're going on the train. Train only.
We're making our own aquarium. We have a children's museum. Go fuck yourselves.
But yeah, the tolls are kind of...
You think you're so good to have a $15 toll to enter your shitty streets?
They're hoping that it will reduce traffic.
That is a fact. That will do it. That certainly will do it.
That certainly will.
To be fair, it's an awful city to drive. I don't know why you would drive.
I don't mind it now, but the first couple times I did it, it was a nightmare. I'm just more used to it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not fun by any means.
If ever like rural Mainers, like Portland is stressful, my rural Mainers Portland is Boston. I just know.
Ugh. So anyway, he's begging.
He begged at the toll taker to let him pass, and...
Did they let him?
Yeah, they did.
No, nice. You're here all night now. Yeah, like, what What are they going to do?
No, exactly. I was like... I was curious one time. I remember I accidentally got onto the toll, and I literally didn't have any money to pay the toll. like any cash on me.
Yeah.
And I didn't have an easy pass at the time. So I was just like, hey, I didn't mean to go this way. I'm literally just, it was the mall area.
Yes. Allegra's done that.
Accidentally did that shit. I went to the toll and I'm like, look, I'm just trying to get to the mall. I didn't mean to turn this way. I'm not from here. The lady was nice enough to like, let me go.
They usually are just really nice. And they're like, yeah, just, yeah. And yeah. So
super understanding, but
so they let him go.
They let him go. He gets to South Berwick. Amy's car is in the driveway as they had left it, but it didn't seem like Amy went home.
Yeah.
He kind of just assumed maybe she found a different ride or something or would eventually turn up.
That's kind of insane, though, to be like, South Berwick is far enough away that like nobody's like
a 40-minute drive.
If you already have someone that you came with that has a car, like you're not gonna go home with, like, no. Unless she went home with someone else, but like, at the same time, it doesn't really seem like that's her vibe right now.
Yeah, I would say that this guy's logic is a little bit flawed.
I mean, he's been drinking. Situation.
He's been drinking probably.
So he's probably like, yeah, I guess. Like,
or you like, wanna, I don't know, maybe.
You don't want to assume the worst.
You don't want to assume the worst. He's got a kind heart.
If you have, I feel like if she was hanging, this is just me making a sort of like, as a woman, I think a lot of, like, if you're out with your gal pals, if you don't show up, they're going to make a fuss immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what women are trained to be, hyper vigilant.
More like aware, because there'd be a system that you've already set up to be like,
we go to the bathroom together.
Hey, I'm cool with this guy. I'm going to go home with them or something like that. Most women that I've met have some sort of like, okay, huddle moment. Mm-hmm. When it comes to stuff like that or changing up their routine or going somewhere else.
Yeah, if you're doing something, meeting someone with someone new, you tell at least one or two people.
Yeah.
So that way they know, like, hey, this is Allegra and I do it. Like, I did it when I had an interview for a theater thing and we did it because I was really anxious about it. And we just told Anna, like, hey, yeah, this is where we're going to be. Worst case scenario, if something had happened to us, like an accident, at least somebody knows we're doing something out of the norm on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Exactly.
But yeah, that's why I'm also kind of giving him a pass too, because he's been drinking and I don't think that men are, they're not expected to be as vigilant as women are.
They're not. I think at this time, no, I don't know. I feel like I feel differently about that. I feel like if I was in the situation, I would have acted differently. But yeah, no, I understand. He didn't notice Amy in the home at all, and he didn't want to be unkind and go in without her. He did have some keys to access.
He's just gonna sit there all night.
No, he slept in his rental car, yeah. But by morning, he noticed that Amy still hadn't returned, and he was like, what the fuck? So he took the keys to the home that he had, went inside, took a shower. Then he left a note on the front door that said, where the fuck did you go? And then left.
Oh, is he going to regret that?
I don't.
Just like as a friend.
I don't know, maybe. Whole Sunday goes by. That's kind of concerning. Amy's mother has become worried that she knew that she didn't return home. She became concerned because, you know, Amy has a cat that she would take care of. She wouldn't neglect that cat. Mm-hmm. But then by Sunday morning, when she had not shown up for work, she knew that something was completely off.
Uh-huh.
She immediately, along with the family, filed a missing persons report. Now, I'm going to say this, but also say that they did actually follow up. The police immediately assumed some kind of fling.
Yeah, but she's an adult. She can do what she wants.
But they did actually follow up on leads.
Oh, I'm so happy.
So they ran, like, Eric's record to try to find him. Found the record of the rental car, was able to get a contact to Eric.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're able to reach out to them. There was also a lot of reporting out via newspapers. Via newspapers. The family also plastered hundreds of missing person posters all across southern Maine. The police interviewed Eric, and they took him up on his very, as they saw it, very strange version of events and what it had transpired.
Yeah.
Eric's looking a little suspicious in their eyes.
I feel like if I was a police officer, because, like, obviously I was giving him benefit of the doubt for a lot of things, but He's the last person to be with her? Absolutely.
So, like, there were pretty skeptical of the story, considering it's like you just kind of left. You didn't do anything else. And they're a little bit, like, perplexed like, by that this choice of the story.
That didn't concern you at all? Yeah.
But Eric was also able to describe two men that they had met at the bar. Mm-hmm. One of which was a jailed-haired individual, kind of a little waspy, potentially. Seems that way. Named Jeffrey Gorman, also known as Russ.
So we get his info.
We got his info. He actually ended up calling in. Yeah. He wanted to give his side of the story of what happened to Amy that night.
So does he call in before they get the info on him?
They called, before they got the info on him, it seemed. And then, like, they were able to corroborate that. Like, yeah, that must be the person that they were hanging out with. So.
All right.
According to Russ, around 1 a.m., around the time that Eric went to queue at the bathroom, Amy lost track of Eric, and Gorman asked if she wanted to go to a birthday party that was in an apartment on Brighton Avenue. She apparently agreed, but took her to the apartment, and around, close to 2 a.m., or no, closer to 1:45, the party didn't really materialize, and Amy supposedly didn't feel comfortable and wanted to be dropped back off at the pavilion. Gorman apparently said yes and dropped off Amy at 1:45 a.m. The story doesn't really track with other witnesses, though, that were in the vicinity at this time, not really recalling anybody like Amy being dropped off or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Some details on the location were not tracking very well in the investigation's mind. Gorman is starting to look a little bit suspicious as well. By Tuesday morning, so 48 hours basically after the disappearance, a conference was held by police where they said that this is probably much bigger than just a missing persons case. We're looking into it further. Eric's story obviously was questioned, but police were able to corroborate, timeline of the events of what he was dealing with. Because they found footage of Eric pumping gas at the station at the time that he said he was. And then they even tracked down the toll taker that let Eric pass, corroborating that side of the story as well.
Because I'm sure that they probably had to make a note of it or something.
Of course, yeah. And I mean, like, why wouldn't you follow up on that,
And I think that's the thing is, if he was lying, he's lying about things that are easily verifiable.
Yeah.
That they could, verify are demonstrably false.
Yeah.
But they're not. They are lining up. So, okay, at the very least, some of his,
Yeah, it's like the story doesn't seem like totally fabricated or sort of misaligned. So Eric's story is starting to become a lot more convincing. So a lot of attention is now on Gorman. News articles that were released at this time, without naming Gorman, basically said, we got some information. Doesn't seem like potentially that's good information. So that guy that gave us that information, yeah, we're looking at him. Like, I've never seen an article of, a police statement come out that's just straight up hey, without naming names, the information we got from that one guy was bullshit, so we're looking at that guy. Saying that. Very openly.
I've also know they're usually very, they play it very close to the vest.
Yeah. Gorman's statements also were beginning to fall apart even more by the day. He claimed that he had returned to his apartment after dropping off Amy and went to sleep by 2 a.m. But interviews with roommates confirmed he wasn't even there around 3 a.m. or 3:15. So Gorman was very reluctant as well to let the police look at his vehicle or to participate in polygraph tests, something that Eric did also do and kind of got mixed results because he was pretty nervous about it.
I feel like at this point, they also, because polygraph tests are no longer admissible in court.
Yeah.
Because it's
Because it's like, it's kind of bullshit.
Yeah, mostly because it can be influenced so easily. But at this point in time, I don't think they know that. And there are still a lot of people who, like, stand by them. So,
yeah,
you know. Yeah, it makes sense. He's not saying, no, I don't want to take it because they aren't reliable. He's saying, no, I don't want to take it because...
So the person that also was with Gorman that night, mm-hmm. playing pool with Amy and all that, they also said that they originally stated that, oh yeah, Gorman, he was like in the apartment 2 a.m. He backtracked that and said, I didn't see Gorman until 4:15 a.m. Police really wanted into Gorman's car, but found another of Gorman's roommates that after Amy's disappearance, one of the roommates mentioned that Gorman, 36 hours after the disappearance, had done a full detailing of his vehicle.
Huh.
Gorman also, after a long period of time, even went so far as to change his physical appearance. Where he had gelled hair and looked pretty waspy. A couple months later, wanting another interview, he had been sporting a shaved hair, piercings, and tattoos.
Like, do we think that he's going to try and hop?
I mean, it seems like he's trying to. Gorman's also having, like, some issues with other criminal activities that he's been engaging in. And he's actually currently on probation.
Okay.
Okay. Additionally, more holes in Gorman's story. They had found out that Gorman had been pulled over the very night of Amy's disappearance at 3:15 a.m. because of a busted headlight. He also apparently borrowed a shovel from his mother's boyfriend 2 days after the disappearance. On December 8th, the police decided to make a huge fucking last-ditch effort investigation to search for Amy's remains. Because that's what they assumed they were looking for.
Yeah.
They took about 100 officers, split into 17 different, like, district search areas. They had police dogs. They had airplanes. They were doing a lot to look for the body. And they did actually yield results. On December 8th, 2011, in a shallow grave along Route 22 in Scarborough, they found the body of 25-year-old Amy, matching the description and clothes last seen.
No.
Suspicious enough, this location was also near the prime suspect's mother's home.
You mean the one where he borrowed the shovel from?
Yeah. Autopsy revealed many other startling discoveries. It was clear that Amy had been beaten, sexually assaulted, and then shot in the head. It was also evident from a toxicology report that she had been roofied. Gorman's the prime suspect, but evidence even now wasn't clear enough for police to take him into custody. Police became aware of Gorman's movements as well, because at the time, Gorman decided to travel to Torrey, Alabama, violating one of his probations. Something really weird happened, though, after finding the body. Gorman's mother received a call from Gorman at 2:30 p.m. on December 9th, seemingly to go into this long tirade of blaming his mother for all of the bad decisions that he's ever made in his life and his criminal issues. And during their over 20-minute phone conversation, the mother pressed Gorman to confess to his involvement with Amy. Till he finally broke and said, "Mom, I did it. I killed that girl." He claimed to have been walking in the woods with Amy near their house when she said something that upset him, where then he killed Amy.
Oh, we're using the Black Rock defense?
Yeah, apparently. After his confession, Gorman seemed to be having a string of mental breakdowns. On December 11th, Gorman pulled a gun on somebody at a gas station thinking they were staring at him. The victim reported the incident, and the very next day, officers cornered Gorman at the home of a family friend, where they stood off for 6 hours while Gorman threatened suicide if the cops claimed him, holding two guns to his head.
Oh my God.
He gave up and then was hauled to Maine on those probation violation charges unrelated to the St. Laurent case.
So you said that you'll probably talk about it, but so they don't have evidence. But I think you said when you first walked in this apartment today that there was a court case.
Yes.
So is the court case relating to Amy's murder, or is it relating to some of these other instances?
It's relating to Amy's murder. I did not look into the other criminal issues.
I just wasn't sure because you said evidence was not. Okay, cool. All right, continue.
We'll get there.
Yep, I figured you'd get there, but I just want to make sure that I'm like caught up in brain.
That'd be wild if I just like laid this all on for like a case that was never. Anyway. Gorman's mother shared the phone call confession with a friend.
Did she have it recorded or did she just like.
She just retold it.
Got you.
She said that she was conflicted on saying anything, you know, mother's guilt or something like that.
But just tell the cops.
But her friend was able to press her to make a decision that ultimately brought her before a grand jury to testify on February 8th, 2002, where through her sobs, she recalled the events of the phone call. With that, the grand jury was ready to indict on murder charges. Gorman pleaded innocent. The trial was scheduled for January 13th, 2003.
Okay, we're in 2003 now.
Yeah, quite a bit of time.
Which,
I mean, this is normal. I mean, like, if we're looking at the justice system and work, this is actually, I think, kind of quick.
Quick. It is.
I just want to talk a little bit about the family. But during that year, Amy's mother expressed her grief in a lot of ways, but pointedly stated, "Sometimes I'm angry. I think I'm more angry than that. There's so many things. We've all been robbed of things we had planned, that she and her sister had planned, that aren't going to happen. When you're young, you don't think anything bad can happen to you. That we lost Amy and how we lost her, I don't want people to lose sight that it happened in Portland. I just want people to remember it happened to Amy. It could happen to you." Amy went off to start a foundation for, and named after, sorry, Jesus Christ.
No, you're good.
Amy's mother went to start a foundation in Amy's name, Amy St. Laurent Foundation, where they started their first like activity was that they underwrote the cost of training Portland officers to be instructors in rape aggression defense systems, RADS for short. The foundation continues to operate to this day and continues to offer defense training for women in the southern Maine area. We'll have a link for the foundation in the episode description. So we get to the trial, January 13th, 2003. As the trial's going underway, the key bit of testimony that was going to put Gorman away was starting to look shaky. That being the confession from the mother.
Okay.
Gorman's mother was starting to say that she did not recall the phone call with her son.
No!
And she said that she did not recall the grand jury confession testimony.
Is she okay?
She's supposedly not really okay at this time. She's describing a lot of problems with anxiety. She apparently lost a lot of weight. She, you know, was taking more medicine.
So from the outside, it's less of a, I don't want my son to go away. It's, she's not doing well.
I think there's a bit of both here. I think that there's always been sort of a not wanting to be the reason their son goes to prison forever. And also a side of like, just the stress.
Yeah.
The stress of having to come to terms with this. Of having to hear this. I mean, like, the grand jury testimony was recorded and it was a bit of a gamble on the part of the lawyers, but they decided to press the judge and say, can we play the recording? We know it's under grand jury, but can we do it? Like, this seems,
because it happened.
It seems pertinent to the case. And now, like, we're dealing with this supposed memory issue.
And that's the thing is, like, if a doctor could testify that what is going on with her is affecting her memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then, or, you know, just the sheer stress that she's like, you know, it's not that she's recanting. It's that she can't remember.
Yeah. Or, you know, the other side being she is lying under oath right now. But with, you know, with the permission of the judge, the recording was played in front of the jury from the grand jury testimony. The trial lasted a week and ended with Gorman receiving 60 years for the murder of Amy St. Laurent. He did not receive the maximum sentence as the crime was not premeditated.
Okay, so they're thinking... she was roofied.
Yeah.
Something was premeditated.
I think there is a premeditation for... who knows?
So I guess...
I can't speak to that, really.
No, but that's just my... when you say that someone is roofied and then a crime happens, part of that crime appears to be premeditated, but I guess I'm also not the law, so I don't know where they split hairs. If they were like, okay, maybe the sexual assault is premeditated, but the murder is not, which still, holy shit, but okay. All right.
During the trial, the judge, Nancy Mills, stated Gorman was a dangerous person who remained defiant throughout his incarceration and trial. Quote, "You have shown absolutely no remorse for your conduct," unquote. Gorman had supposedly been even smirking during some parts of the trial and even winked at Amy's sister. Gorman did try to appeal the decision since they had used the grand jury testimony recording. But the court decided that, fuck it, you'd be fucked anyway. Because of the following bits of evidence, Gorman was the last person seen with St. Laurent. Gorman told a police interview that he left St. Laurent at a Portland bar at 1:45 a.m. and watched her go inside. The bar was closed at that time. Other evidence suggested he did not leave the apartment with St. Laurent until 2 a.m. or thereafter. Gorman told police and his friends that he returned to the Portland apartment immediately after dropping St. Laurent off at the Portland bar. However, he was stopped by a police officer that night in Westbrook from 3:14 a.m. to 3:22 a.m. Holes in the story. On the Tuesday following St. Laurent's disappearance, Gorman told a police officer that he did not have time to allow him to search Gorman's car. Gorman cleaned his car later that day, telling one coworker he had a date that night and another that he was letting someone borrow the car the next day.
So he can't even keep his fucking story straight as he's lying to the people in his life.
In mid-November, Gorman told a friend that he was implicated in St. Laurent's disappearance, but the police did not have any evidence and they were not going to find her body. Weird thing to say, buddy.
That's a weird fucking thing to say.
That's a weird fucking thing to say, idiot. In the days after St. Laurent's disappearance, Gorman told an ex-girlfriend that he had lied about dropping St. Laurent off at the Portland bar, that his friends actually dropped her off, and they returned 3 hours later with blood on their hands. After her body was found, he told his ex-girlfriend that he told his friends about a good spot to hide St. Laurent's body in the woods behind his mother's house.
That's so funny that you just happened to... Wow.
Yeah, so obviously not true. St. Laurent's body was found buried in the woods 0.3 miles from Gorman's mother's house, near a pond in an area familiar to Gorman. St. Laurent had been shot in the head. Gorman is seen with a gun in the weeks before St. Laurent disappeared. So around that time, he also bragged to a girlfriend that he had always carried a gun with him.
So he's got a gun. We know that. So it's not like, oh, he's never owned it. Yeah, okay.
This is a little bit fucked up, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this one, but a part-time police officer testified that Gorman may have stolen a handgun from him with a caliber similar to that used to shoot St. Laurent. Bruh. You fucking idiot. Oh my god. One day after St. Laurent's body was found, Gorman confessed to his mother that he shot her in the head. The cause of death was not released to the public until after his mother testified before the grand jury.
So, how'd you know? And if you didn't tell, like, yeah, how did she know if you didn't tell her?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
So, with all that, yeah, the judgment is affirmed.
Yeah.
He continues to serve a sentence. That is the murder of Amy St. Laurent. I was surprised I had not heard about this.
I cannot believe that I hadn't heard this.
Yeah, this was pretty wild and really not that all far off. Like, as far as a lot of murders we've talked about, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would have thought this would have been covered more, even online, but no, I found a lot of... I mean, I found some interesting stuff online, but I found a lot of news articles, mostly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this was... Yes. Always fun. Always a rough one.
I mean, the one thing that always is like... It's not a consolation, but at least when their families go on to attempt to make changes. And it sounds like they've done a good job in trying to... Ugh. It's also... I hate the fact that we live in a world that, like, rape prevention is put on women to not be victims.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know...
People not being dicks, not being assholes out here.
This comes up all the time, but like the one that I think of is, Jesus Christ. It's good I don't remember his name, the swimmer. Brock Turner.
Oh, yeah,
rapist
that guy.
Brock Turner.
Rapist Brock Turner.
Yeah. But that's the thing is like, that's, it's situations like that when they come up where I'm just sort of like, there's a problem that we keep having. But why are we... It's fine.
But again, yeah, if you want to get your... it's called RADS, mm-hmm. defense training.
Yeah.
You can be a RAD grad by following the link...
In the show notes.
In the show notes to the Amy St. Laurent Foundation. Laurent Foundation. Yeah, well, this is a pretty rough one. I mean, there's kind of like a lot of interesting things to kind of pick apart here. But yeah, I think what's even juicier to me is watching some fucking moron just dig themselves further into a hole.
Yeah, he...
Like, every fucking step of the way is just like, that was bullshit, that was bullshit, that was bullshit, that was bullshit.
But...
Unraveling in a very quick amount of time.
But if people are going to commit crimes, this is how I would like them.
Easy to solve.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously it's this dude.
Good, because at least her family knows what happened to her, and they know that the person who did it is serving his time. He has been sentenced. He is going to... He's paying for it.
Do you think that he would have been... found out if he did not call the police? Because that was like his mistake number one, was immediately probably, like, hey, I'm well, here.
Again,
this is me.
My assumption is that Eric did not have this guy's name.
Yeah.
He was just sort of like,
probably made
guy with gelled hair, kind of waspy.
Did like a police sketch kind of thing, probably.
Like, that could be, like... Also, if he was drinking, it's just sort of like the cops could have been like, well, that literally could be anybody.
Right. Yeah.
You know? Because also, how much do you trust what he was saying after he had been... I mean, obviously, he was drinking, but obviously was fine enough to drive back to South Berwick.
Well, we assume, yeah.
We assume. So, my other question is just sort of like, when... Gorman was pulled over. Was that after he had murdered her?
Unclear. Assumed yes.
It's happened in at least one other case that we've covered.
I mean, I would assume that it was when he murdered her because, like.
Because the.
My question is, I didn't include their name for a reason, but I think that. There's another guy that might have been involved in this. And I think that maybe just Gorman was the one to...
Take the fall.
Not even that. Maybe just kill her.
Let me...
I would say that maybe there was more than one crime happening. Like, things just seem a little suspicious.
So you're thinking that the roofing and the sexual assault is one crime and then...
And I think, yeah, and I think other people might have been involved with the first rather than the last, you know.
I unfortunately could see that.
It's like, yeah.
Especially because I know there was another guy that was fucking hell.
Oh. The police sirens are really going off nearby.
Actually, it's almost like it's timed every single week.
Time to test the wee-woos.
We're recording, and there's always a ton of police sirens that are going off.
A lot of bad vibes with this. So let's get the good vibes in with our next mainism. Hey, it's a mainism. And I mean that literally, B. We got some good vibes coming here. All righty then. I'm not doing an accent. No one wants to hear that.
Good for you.
But hey,
I'm proud of you.
If you want to know what the accent was, you can only assume it because we're going to be talking about Reggae Fest 2024, man.
How long has Reggae Fest been happening?
It's been happening 36 years, apparently. Holy shit. 36th annual Sugarloaf Reggae Fest.
Reggae is disproportionately popular here in Maine.
It's a weird phenomenon. There's like a huge uptick. Yeah, a lot of reggae is actively enjoyed in the state of Maine. There's more than one reggae event that happens across.
Correct. I do. We've gone to Thompson's Point and watched Catch a Vibe, which was so good.
So fun.
I like Catch a Vibe.
I saw Catch a Vibe perform at the bar that I was working at, where the entire fucking patio was covered in weed smoke. They weren't supposed to do that, but I guess when one person starts sparking up, everybody does. All right.
You want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
So, you know, I have fun colored hair.
I've had fun colored hair
for a while. So like
today, you kind of remind me of some kind of fruit. Something citrusy. Dragon fruit, maybe.
Maybe. Dragon fruit doesn't have any yellow.
Does it not have yellow? No, yeah, it's deep purples. What has yellow in it and pink in it?
Maybe I'm a dragon fruit sitting next to a star fruit.
Maybe you're just a starburst.
I'm a starburst. So I have fun colored hair, and Allegra and I went to a concert in Boston. We went at Brighton Music Hall. So we stayed in a hotel nearby, and we're walking to the hotel. Or no, we're walking back. We're walking to the concert. That's what we're doing. We're walking to the concert. And a guy crosses the street, and he's like, "Hey, your hair looks like a weed festival. You got any cash?" "Your hair looks like a weed festival."
And then an interesting ask after that.
Correct.
I love that. Oh, Boston. Oh, Boston, Boston.
So tell me, Reggae Fest, 36 years.
36 years. These beautiful times can be yours. There's actually a lot of free events with Reggae Fest, if you did not know. The first evening, actually even, for Reggae Fest is free. Mm. Space is limited, of course, because of the venue size. But starting on Thursday, April 11th, 9 p.m. to 12:30 a.m., it's free for guests 21 plus. Don't bring your kids. Friday, April 12th, they do have a daytime concert that's free. But then 9 p.m., or basically evening concerts, concerts that start in the evening, will be only valid with a ticket. So there is tickets. So free concerts during the day, all ages, 21 plus at night.
Fair.
There you go.
Take the kiddos home.
Get them the fuck out of here. And then there's all day free concerts for the Sunday. Got tickets for the weekend. They're $75 through March 29th. And this is not an ad. We're not getting paid. I don't need to read these then.
Yeah, we did this. We did this before with the ice festival thing.
True. $75 before March 29th. $80 from March. Anyway, there's weekend passes. There's single day tickets. Go fucking look at them. Sugarloaf.com/reggaefest.
You do make it sound like we're fucking at. We don't get paid for anything.
That's sugarloaf.com. You don't get paid. /reggae.
You get paid.
Hyphen fest.
Oh, ein Hefe Weißen wie
das. Ein Hefe Weißen Reggae Fest Day. Do you like reggae? Do you listen to reggae?
Not on the reg, but like, no. Like I said, when we went to the sunsets at Thompson's Point, I'll vibe to it. I will vibe to pretty much anything as long as it's not modern country.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Don't like to hear about tractors making love to portraits of Jesus.
No.
While sipping a Bud.
No.
Budweiser. A Bud Heavy. They don't like Bud Lights anymore.
Even like some 90s country I'm not really into. Like, I'll do like folk.
Yeah.
You know, the sort of like alternative folk country, bluegrass kind of vibes there. I'll do that. But I don't know, man. There's just something about country that I don't.
I think like, I mean, old school rebel country, you know, that's a different vibe and that's a different setting. That's when like the people had principles, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're sort of your pop country, your modern day country. It does lack a sort of goodness to it.
I feel like there was definitely a change, like, after, like, sort of, like...
It happened... I know exactly when it changed.
I know exactly when it changed, too.
September 11th, yes. 2001 is when it changed.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is, like, it became, like, a very conservative...
Yeah, I really did.
Conservative, white, Christian... vibey thing, which, yeah, because I feel like even that sort of genre has a lot of history in terms, because what I think of is the fact that like bluegrass and blues are the same exact music,
mm-hmm.
but it's called bluegrass because white artists did not want to be associated with black artists. Ruh-roh. Initially. That's that. Mm-hmm, yes. So, which I think bluegrass has its own sort of vibe now, but initially...
Yeah, I think it's now sort of more in the folk variety.
Yeah, but initially...
Which is heavily white.
Yeah, so that's the thing, is it's... So I that's the thing for me, is like the heavy... country is the heavy patriotism, the heavy heteronormativity, because obviously I don't relate... Hashtag can't relate. And the very religious aspect of it, too.
Mm.
As somebody who's outside of that, I'm like...
It's not all religious. I mean...
No, it's not all.
If religion was just saying, praise Jesus, let's go fight a war, sure. But it's completely missing
but
a
you,
lot of
you
shit.
Get what, but you get what I mean.
No, I get what you mean. It's really catering towards people who don't have reading comprehension.
Yes. Hello, James.
Who lives in my wall?
You do.
Rap a tap, tap, tap.
That was a skit. Oh, my God.
Ho, ho, ho.
So maybe we should wrap up. So thank you all for listening. You can reach out to us if you have cases you want us to cover, movies you want us to watch. If you want to discuss something that we've talked about on the pod, you can reach out to us at homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or on Instagram at homegrownhorrorpod. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or you can leave us some stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But most of all, we are just so happy that you're here with us. And we very much appreciate all of your ears tuning into us every week.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye.